Now on Mitchell's Front Page, Caitlin with Arts and Entertainment.
And good morning, Caitlin. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Yes, very good. And your voice is becoming a bit of a celebrity voice here on The Pulse, because now we get to hear you at 10 o'clock in the TAC Community Service Bulletin Board.
I know, and I'm glad that I'm not here for that. But I don't want to hear it.
You don't get to like download it and take it with you so that you can listen back to it over and over and over again?
No, and I was feeling sorry for whoever had to edit that one, having to listen to my voice over and over.
Oh, don't put yourself down. Now... you've brought in a text today. I've got to say that the feminism discussion last week was very, very powerful. So let's see if we can top it today.
Oh, I don't know about that. It's not about feminism.
No.
It's called Nobody Is Ever Missing by Catherine Lacey. And, I mean, looking at it, I think it's actually done really well for itself. So essentially it is about a woman who is married in New York and just kind of it opens with her packing her bags, not telling her husband or her mother where she's going, and flying to New Zealand for a life change, I suppose. So it's kind of, I think the premise, nobody is ever missing, is more that you can't go missing from yourself. So no matter how much you try to kind of escape, I don't know, your past or who you think you are now, it kind of catches up with you.
That's very interesting, because I think Greg had a show about that a few weeks ago, about people that are just at the drop of a hat disappear.
I mean, right.
Not disappear, according to the premise of this text.
Well, that's what she kind of wanted to do, I think, was to disappear from her life.
But we've got a poster up there next door, Dan's still missing, and I think he had a conversation with his parents, and all was well, and a mere 10 minutes later, he had completely vanished, and no one has seen him since.
And I think that's... like, so tragic as well.
It is. Well, tell us about this particular person. What were the factors that perhaps led up to her saying, I'm going to move to the other side of the world?
So it's really exploring bereavement, grief, you know, kind of grief that hasn't been dealt with. And I think there is a bit of mental illness. They don't really acknowledge it, but she has quite a lot of paranoia.
Yeah.
That I think is... illness related, like mentally ill.
Has it been written in the first person form?
Yes. Yeah. And the thing is, which is really great about this author, is that she's written it so that the insight that you're getting is only from the narrator.
Yeah.
Which is such an interesting thing to think about when you're reading books, is this narrator reliable?
Yep.
Can I rely on this narrator? Am I actually getting the truth from this person? Because it's only from one perspective.
Yep.
So when you're getting things in third person and you're getting things from different characters, you get more of a truth there. But when you're getting it from one perspective, it kind of makes you question whether or not they're reliable as a storyteller.
Well, you talk about mental illness there. I mean, the narrator is not going to self-diagnose themselves, you
wouldn't
think.
Exactly. And I've read books before which were so amazing in the sense that, you know, I've read one about, it's called Rachel's Holiday. And she gets put into rehab by her family.
Yeah.
And the entire time you're like, this girl doesn't have an addiction. Until you realise, because she's not a reliable narrator, until you get to kind of like the third, I don't know, three quarters in, that you start to realise that actually she really needed to be there. And it's kind of the same thing with this, in that, you know, this woman is really kind of struggling to, I think, she doesn't want to deal with anything, so she's run away, basically.
Mm.
And the thing that those type of things catch up with you.
So the premise is that you can never really run away. The only way to deal with life is to confront it head on, so to speak.
Yeah, and you know, like, kind of just take your time and I suppose really kind of acknowledge whatever you're going through. And, you know, that can be the hardest thing. Sometimes people just want to sleep under the rug and pretend that it's not there.
Yeah.
I think there's a real stigma in feeling sad or, you know, you always see these quotes about being happy and being positive and things like that. And I think that as good as that is, you know, you've also got to kind of acknowledge the negativity in it and sadness or anger or grief or whatever is kind of going on. I think you have to have a healthy balance.
Yeah, well, life's not all positive. And there's been a lot of criticism in terms of how people handle mental illness by brushing it under the rug and, you know, just move on with it and that sort of thing. Whereas it sounds like this book is trying to change that and say you have to bring issues out into the open for discussion, and the only way to get rid of it is to confront it head on.
And she meets, like, this person, I mean, she meets a lot of people, and this one character says, you know, you're too sad. You have a sadness in you, and I don't like being around sad people. Mm. And that's the thing, like, I think she's trying to find something that she feels is missing, but even though she's changed her location, changed her life drastically, she can't seem to find it, and it's because it's in within.
Yep.
Within yourself.
So she reinvents herself in New Zealand.
Attempts to.
And obviously we have to wait and see what happens at the end.
Well, yes, you have to read it.
But mental illness is obviously a really big theme there. What are some of the other elements there? Like a self-identity sort of thing?
Absolutely. Kind of identity crisis and kind of dealing with really, I suppose, impacting moments.
Yes.
And and grief and things like that.
And, how we all handle it. Because the other thing with that, I suppose, is that there's no sort of one set way for people to handle grief. People handle it in all sorts of different ways.
Exactly.
And when people behave differently to expect how people would expect people to behave when they are grieving, then often there's a lot of criticism that comes from that.
Yeah, you know, relationships with, the way that they can affect your relationships as well with her husband, you know, it's, I think something that happened brought them together initially, but is now like what is wedging them apart, her tumultuous relationship with her mother, you know, these things kind of all culminate into a big crock pot.
Mm. Was it one where you got a bit emotional when you were reading it?
I think the whole thing, within the first like few pages, I felt stifled.
Yeah.
And there's that there's a bit of a panic there when you, like, as the reader can, like, feel the emotions that they're feeling. And definitely this weird numbness and almost this, like, brick on your chest that you just can't seem to get past. I mean, it's a real, like, I think that is the scariest part.
So you found that you were able to empathise with the main character or the protagonist?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. And did you sort of see connections there with your own life when you read it?
Yes and no.
Mm.
Yes and no.
Or maybe you see someone around you that's behaving a certain way and you think, oh, you know, that's like them.
Yeah, I think, you know, you kind of, you're just growing, really.
Yep.
And I think you just got to... And that's the great thing about books is that I feel like you can take what you want from it and you can find things in there that would relate to you that perhaps someone else who's reading it wouldn't find. And I think that it's such a great way of kind of enriching your self-insight.
Very good. Well, it sounds like it's quite a challenging one in that it forces you to confront a few different issues.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And scores stars out of five?
Five
out of five, yeah. And it's available in all good bookstores, bad bookstores,
yes,
and libraries.
I think we're going to have to up the stars. I think you're going to have to give me like 10.
And then
stars.
You might need decimal points in there as well.
Well, then because I could be like 7.5,
yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah, all right. Well, we might talk about that after the show. And what else are you reading at the moment? Anything else that you can preview to us that you might be talking about in subsequent weeks?
I've got this book. It's called Seven Eves, and it is huge, and I'm looking to tackle that in the next week, but I'll have to see how I go because it's quite daunting to look at.
And what genre does that fit into?
I think it's a bit sci-fi, a little bit futuristic. Ooh. About kind of the impending doom with Earth.
Dystopian?
And things like that. Dystopian. I think it's Earth, from what I've read on the blurb, Earth is like gone and they've gone to, I don't know, into space, and
yep,
then they come back like 3,000 years later.
That's the flavour of the month at the moment.
Isn't
there are all these new
Isn't
planets
it?
Being discovered, and all, don't they look like Earth, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. Good to see you, and we'll catch up with you next Tuesday on Mitchell's Front Page.
Wonderful.
Thank you very much. Caitlin there, our program arts and entertainment reporter, does a great job as always, and we always like to podcast these particular segments up at our website, mitchellsfrontpage.com.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.